All right, we're recording.
All right. Call to order. Would you like to call the roll?
What time did you call?
Well, it's now what time?
Four o'clock.
Call. If you could do the roll call, Arlen.
Okay. Trustee Clark.
Here.
Trustee Ellison.
Here.
Vice Chair Palmer.
Here.
And Chair Larson.
Here.
All right.
Public comments? Any?
There were zero public comments received.
Right.
How far ahead of time do people have to send them in?
I think it's... I forget what the rule is, but it's like, there is a limit. I forget, like, if it's like a couple of hours before, or like the day before, or something like that, yeah.
But
they can come, but the thing is, if they want to come and make comments, then I'd have to give them, they'd have to ask me, the secretary, or tell me that they're going to make comments, and I'd record it. And then when it's public comments, then I could call them to whatever comments they want to do. But they can't just blurt it out, you know.
How often do you get a public comment?
We don't generally get it. I mean, that's pretty typical of this. This commission or this board.
We were getting some. Political.
Right.
Events.
Yeah.
Do you have a right to reject people if it is a partisan political thing?
You just hear them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I would like to do something a little bit different tonight, if it's all right. Maybe appropriate or not. I would like to have each of you and myself, check in.
Sure.
And check in would involve, since we don't see each other except for once a month, maybe a high or a low or something that you'd like to share that stood out. An occurrence in the last month that you'd like to share with the group.
Maybe we could do that at the end. Sure. That would be sort of like more of a good of the order kind of
okay.
a thing, and I feel like that it would be more appropriate at the end.
Trustee comments.
Yes.
Yeah. Just comments.
Yes.
Okay.
But
just write that down so you guys know what to comment.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So that way, you know, that way. I mean, you typically the good of the order is like right at to close things off. So.
Okay. Good. So we will have. Action items tonight?
Actually, we go to presentations, number four.
Presentations, overview of the library mission, vision, services and programs by City Rock Librarian Joy Watley and Principal Librarians Erwin Magvanua and Diana
Okay.
So good evening, everybody. I'm going to kind of, when we last left off, you guys saw the things that the library did before COVID. So now I'm going to take you through what we did during COVID.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what this presentation is going to be about. And the next one that you're going to see is where we're at right now and where we're going to go forward. So this is Chula Vista Public Library during COVID. We actually were one of the few departments that were only gone for about a week. And then we were back in the library. What we did was we actually partnered directly with 211 San Diego. And we became, because they got an influx of about 10,000 calls pretty much an hour when COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
So because our librarians are already well-versed in being able to answer reference calls, we actually got trained by 211 San Diego and started answering all the calls for them. So we would answer how to get food. I think our skill set was food security. And what was the other one? There was like three.
Housing
and rental. No, that was under housing. Rental assistance. But there was a third one. But
COVID, like testing.
No, that was another thing. But it wasn't this. We did housing and food. And there was a third. Utilities. Utilities assistance. It was helping pay for utilities. And so basically, they would call in any of those three. Calls would come directly to a phone center here in the library, and the librarians would actually assist them. And so we did that right away. And then we also joined as part of the food security. Do you remember that program that the governor had put out where it was great plates and we were getting seniors food? And so the governor would have an update pretty much at noon that day during COVID. And we knew exactly when that launched because at 12:01 we were getting all the calls asking how to sign up for great plates. So we were just like, and the staff were like, what happened? What went on? So we knew. So that was our first mission was we were basically doing what we normally would do is answer reference calls, but we were actually answering it for the entire community. We also migrated all of our programming virtually. So we started doing story time from home. At the beginning, when we actually did this before we did 211, because we were doing this at our own homes. You see the top left one is one of our librarians recording from her own home, story time for the library, and everybody dialing in and watching it. And we also would do other programs like craft programs and everything from home. And we would actually tell you in advance what you needed to do the craft, and then they would join us. The next thing we did was food assistance. We would accept food from Feeding San Diego and the San Diego Food Bank, and we worked directly with our recreation staff. So we had our own food helpline, the City of Chula Vista did. Library staff were answering those calls. We put you in there, so if you were COVID positive and you couldn't really go out into the community to buy your own food, because what if you're a solo adult living at home, right? Instead of infecting everybody, we encourage you to stay home. We would actually, recreation staff would actually deliver it directly to your door, leave it on your doorstep. And so we partnered with them. We were their call center, and they would go out and do the delivery. So it was kind of nice to be able to get food to our community. And this is them delivering stuff to each of the homes, whatever they needed. There were a lot of seniors that, as you can tell, during the migration, during COVID, if they were used to just going out and buying your groceries and they didn't know how to purchase online, like all of us would either do it from our phones, right? Like we'd do a Target drive-up or we'd do a Walmart pickup, and they didn't know how to do that, we would actually assist them to do that. So as I told you, we do virtual craft time, we teach you how to use different apps, we showed you how to use all of our devices that you could possibly do from home. One of the biggest programs that launched during this time was, it's a program called Zip Books. And basically, you would request a book from us, and we'd mail it directly to you from Amazon. And then once you dropped it off and returned it is when I'd add it to the collection for everybody else to use. One of the biggest things that the library did as well was there was a need, clearly, for the students, because all of a sudden they went to virtual learning, and a lot of them didn't have devices. Or they didn't have Wi-Fi. Strong enough Wi-Fi for every student to be able to be on Wi-Fi at the same time of the day. Especially if you have three kids in the house. So we partnered with the school district and we got a grant and we launched 2,000 Wi-Fi hotspots into the community. And we directly gave it through the low-income schools that needed it the most so that they can assist their students on virtual learning. And this is Erwin actually cataloging and loading all of those 2,000 Wi-Fi hotspots. Yeah. During that time. And then, of course, we focused on all of our online stuff. So Libby and Hoopla, which is our ebook material. Hoopla is a great one because you could do TV shows, movies, and books, and we just pay for checkout. So normally, when you work through Libby, the library has to acquire those materials. So if I acquire, for example, we got the hottest book and I bought the New Yorker and I only bought one copy, then I only have one copy to circulate amongst the community. The way Hoopla works is if all of you decided you wanted the same book, it would allow you to check out all of them and I just paid for the checkouts. So it opened it up more. And then I think we migrated from Flipster, right? We're still on Flipster.
Yeah. We're also Overdrive, so we have several magazines.
Several magazines on different platforms. And then that's what I was telling you about with Zip Books, where you requested it by mail, we mailed it to you through Amazon, and then you just returned it at the library when you were done.
Are all of these programs still in effect, or have
the only one that isn't currently active is Zip Books, but it's about to come back, because that's through state library funding. But Libby is still live, Hoopla is live, and so is Flipster.
I use Flipster.
Mm-hmm.
You get 100% return on the books that you send out at Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we get most of them, and then we've been able to add probably 90% of them back into our collection.
Yeah. So one of the things that got really popular during COVID was pickleball. I'm sure you've heard many things about pickleball. It's still very popular, but one of the things we decided to do during COVID was we actually started circulating pickleball kits. So if you didn't really know pickleball at all, you can still check it. Instead of purchasing your own, you can check one out from the library, check out our pickleball courts that we have out there, and see if you liked it before you committed to buying your own. So it was kind of nice, too, all through your library card. We also did takeout, so even though you couldn't come into the library at the time, you could place a book online or by hold, and you can actually come and pick it up at the library front door, and we'd actually go out and meet you at your car. We also started doing crafts this way, too. We would create take-home crafts that they could take the kit home and then watch us online do the craft together. So we had passports open, passport services open, and a lot of people questioned this decision, but it was actually really important to have passport services during that time. Because if you were somebody that were traveling across the border and your passport expired, they weren't just going to say, well, it's COVID, so you can't renew it. Like, you know, you got to renew it. So our staff, because we had the different facilities, so for some time we only had Civic open and we brought all the staff here at Civic. So South was closed, Otay was closed, but everybody was here. And then we started to kind of separate out and have everybody open at different hours. It went Otay, Civic, then Otay Ranch, and then South was the last one to open. But what we did was consolidate everybody, and we actually started doing passport services right here in the patio right here. So we were also a mask drop-off. At the very, very beginning, when people were still looking for masks, people would make them and donate them and drop them off in our book drops. And then we would give them to our park rangers, our rec staff, and they would actually deliver them to the community. And then the city also created some, and we started handing them out for the city as well. This is another program that we created. Do you want to talk about this one, Erwin, or Tate? I don't know. Veterans Connect, we basically created all the resources and put it together for our veterans so that they can also pick it up from the drive-through of the library. They're called grab-and-go kits, and it just gives them all the resources they may need that they usually would have used in the library if they could come in the library at that time. These are our energy kits, our sustainability kits. Ironically, there was a lot of people that were doing home renovation also too during COVID. I get it, they were at home, so they had a chance to. And those are still available now. You can check out a sustainable home toolkit, and you can actually test what's sustainable in your house, whether your fridge is running energy efficient, there's thermometers in there, there's kilowatt meters in there, and you can currently check that out right now. And even redoing your window seals. So it shows you what to do.
There's stuff you can keep too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't return something.
Like, we're not telling you to remove the window seal and give it back to you. But all the tools you can check out, they can show you how to become sustainable and then bring it back to us. Also, we had our seed library, which was also popular right before COVID, but we also brought that up during COVID as well. And our seed library still continues to grow. You're going to see that one grow through Civic Center and South Chula Vista, because we just got a grant that's actually going to, ironically, I know it sounds so like cheesy when I say it, it's going to grow that program to a larger scale.
Yes.
But what that's going to do is it allows our community, especially our community of gardeners, can actually share seeds. One of the things that we're going to do this year that we didn't do in the past is we're actually going to revive a bunny garden for our animal care facility, so our bunnies can eat for free, because there's so many people that grow. So, exciting. And then I told you, Erwin did a program. You want to talk a little bit about that one, Erwin, the arts?
Yeah, so one of the things that stopped during the pandemic was cultural arts programming, unfortunately. But we were able to, we had one project that was supposed to have supposed to happen across the street at City Hall. It was a big painting by Amanda Cacciadorian, who is an up-and-coming painter from Chula Vista. I think she's now in
Switzerland.
But she creates these amazing, incredible, like, botanical paintings. botanicals, and it's surrealistic, and it folds in a lot of like indigenous plants in South Bay. She did a painting for us, and we never were able to show it or have a reception for it. So I did an interview with her, and I just put together a video where she talked about her art. And so that was kind of a nice way to kind of like kickstart some of the cultural arts programming again, or at least like the arts program.
And then we also did story times in other languages. So as you can see, we did it in Tagalog as well as Spanish, also online. And then what we did was actually have a deeper conversation with 211 so people understood what 211 can assist you to do. A lot of people don't realize 211 can also assist you in finding jobs, finding emergency shelter, food for your children. They do so much, actually. They help you sign up for CalFresh because we were working on that for a while for them. And so really we wanted them to showcase what they did. So the other thing that we did, which Rizal kind of gave us a clue into, we were really a key part of getting our community vaccinated. As you saw at the very beginning, we had COVID testing centers that opened, right? There was the Sears location that opened. And what the library did was work with recreation to create the cool zone there, because as the libraries are cool zones for the community, which means seniors during the summer months are able to come in and enjoy the air conditioning. And with the libraries being closed, we didn't want them to have issues during the summer. So what we did was open a section of the Sears building that wasn't near the testing and allow them to come in, enjoy a movie, and just get away from the heat. Because a lot of them may not have air, central air in their homes. Then as it migrated from the testing and we worked towards being a vaccination center, the library did the other half of that, which not only did we work directly with, we were the group that actually booked the mobile vaccination team for fire. So we would get fire, they have a bunch of their EMTs would join together, and they would actually go to every senior center, every mobile home park that they could, and go out and vaccinate anybody who wanted to be vaccinated, which was a great way to, especially to our senior community, who may not have the opportunity to come to us, we went to them. So we helped book them. The other thing was behind the scenes, which you don't realize is when you get vaccinated, we have to record that in the San Diego Immunization Registry, and the library was the one doing that. So behind the scenes, we would get everything that the mobile team would do, and we would enter it in so that everybody would show they were vaccinated. And we started booking for the vaccinations for both the Super Center right there at Sears, as well as we did a huge event at Oleander, actually, and booked them too. Then we started doing events on the deck. So that's
on the, deck?
On the library deck right here, yeah. Where we would get groups of employees, because we actually started doing it for employees as well. So one of the biggest things was to try to get anybody that was in food service, the grocery workers, everybody vaccinated. So what we would do is we would call out to them and say, hey, we want to come over to your staff. Anyone that wants to be vaccinated will vaccinate you. And so we worked with them to kind of get everybody vaccinated. So we were very busy, to say the least.
Did you have nurses? I mean, don't you have that?
We're not the ones vaccinating. It was the paramedics for fire did it. Yeah. Oh, no, you wouldn't want the librarians doing that. No, it was the paramedics for fire. We were just the ones they're booking and doing their administrative side so that they wouldn't have to worry about it. They could just continue giving vaccines out. And so we've been, I think that's, did I miss anything on what we did? We did a lot.
Did you have to do anything about, I can't imagine how you could do it, to sanitize the books?
We did.
Oh yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the magazines and?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a UV that actually UVs them.
We had several things.
We had a
little refrigerator looking thing that just like zapped the books. That was always the fun one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The wand.
Yeah.
What else did
we have? We had the sanitizing wipes. We had all kinds
wipes.
Of stuff like that.
Leave them out for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Before you touch them. Yeah. We did everything that we were getting constant updates.
Thought, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the correct thing to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we really try to be, and that's the biggest thing for me is as a library, it's not just about the books, but it's really being relevant to what the community needs. And so that's what we really try to do.
That's what I've been, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, I thought you were pretty much closed.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
We couldn't meet here, we couldn't
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
so I'm really, really
happy to see,
impressed,
like, yeah,
that you were doing so much behind
Joy
to help the
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
Joy was like the deputy mayor.
No. But what I would do is really go, okay, well, we're the ones who, we're your access to the community, so let's help you. And there was even a, and we had a moment for a while where we had a lot of seniors here, and they were having a hard time getting access to food. And part, like I told you before, like they didn't know how to use the apps, they didn't know. And that was right before the stores kind of figured out to do the senior hour and kind of do 7 to 8. So what we would do was, I actually worked directly with the restaurants here to see if they would wholesale sell their produce and everything to the congregational towers. And then they were like, not only will we do it, but we'll deliver it to them. And I said, will you take a credit card over the phone? Because that's a big kicker for them. They can't do it online. Oh. And they were like, yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, because they trust you, because they know you. Like, they'll come in and they'll have, you know, dinner at Tavern at the Vogue, or they'll, and so they know them all the time. And I was like, if you're willing to do that, they're willing to give you their business. And it helped them stay afloat too. Mm-hmm. But it was great because the seniors can actually go to somebody that they can trust. Like, you know, they go in and they always say hi to them. So they knew who they were, and it was helping get food in their hands. And so that was a big thing for us. But we knew that, honestly, like, they could have easily shuttered us and just said, you know, go home, we'll see you in whenever COVID's over. But instead, I was like, no, that's the exact opposite. We need to actually be there for the community and step it up and help them get to where they're at. I had a great story. When we were getting vaccines, and vaccines were very hard to get at the very beginning, I had a woman that called me, and she was, she said, I'm trying to get a vaccine for my parents, and they both live here in Chula Vista. And I said, that's great. Let me help you do that. And she goes, that would be wonderful, because I don't know how to help them. I'm living in Las Vegas. And I said, I'll get you their appointment. I'll tell you when they need to show up. Let me help you. And afterwards, I got a call from her dad telling me, like, oh, Joy, that was so, thank you so much for helping us. And no one else was like, because they didn't also know how to get a vaccine. Because a lot of them were telling them, like, book the appointment online.
Yeah.
And how are you going to do that?
Yeah, where
you start? Like, you had to refresh the
yes!
stories.
And they wouldn't know. And you, it was just like, no, we're going to help you. And so we refused to shut down. Like, our phone center went from being, like, 2-on-1 to our food helpline to the vaccine helpline to COVID testing.
Yes.
And then we also, oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, we gave out COVID testing kits to, like, the community. But it was just, like, you step up being that next level of, like, I never wanted to get rid of the phone line because I knew there were still people that communicated that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I would rather be in a safe place where they're not being scammed by asking, putting their information somewhere, and I'm like, don't do it!
Yeah.
I'll help you do it, don't do it! And that we can keep them safe, too. And so that's the thing, and it really is... I know what I believe in the library, and what our staff believes in the library is just when they really need to step it up. Like, this is the moment. Because we were their trusted place to find information. And so we wanted to be that trusted place. And it would be like, nope, we're going to help you. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I feel like it also helped staff. It helped kind of, like, hone their skills about, like, getting
information,
finding
yeah.
all that information from 2-on-1.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we can really
That's
help. We can help people even better because now we're sort of trained with, like, what are the different resources out there through 2-on-1. So yeah, win-win for us as well. So.
Yeah,
the line very well.
Did you have to have it authorized by mayor, council, or anything like that? Or is that what you decided that you needed to do?
No, what would happen is all of the department heads would meet, and we would talk about what we need to make a decision for the city, especially because we had an emergency coordinator that was kind of coordinating everything. And I would always be like, we can do that. Let the library do it. And then next thing you know that we're doing all of it. And I'm just like, that's great. This is how we can help you. But I also feel like it's funny because it was also the community that already knew the library and also knew the people at the library. So it wasn't so shocking to them.
Right.
But anyways, that's what we were doing.
Easy.
Yeah, and then it was a little weird for us, as you can imagine, to kind of go back to normal. We're like, what's that?
We're just starting to get there, where we feel like everyone's coming back and feeling comfortable.
Sure.
But I truly have, like, the most amazing staff, because I know we've grown everything we can ever imagine at them. and they always rise up to the occasion to serve the community, and that's why I'm so super proud of them, because every single time I'm like, hey, guess what, we're gonna do this. They're
did
like,
you lose people?
We did, but I think there were people that we would have lost anyways because COVID changed their outcome. You know, there was, as any industry, maybe you made a decision, one of you were gonna stay home,
mm-hmm.
and the other one's not gonna work anymore, and I think we're all still seeing that,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So we did lose quite a few people, but at the same time, I think we would have lost them regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was what we were doing or just their outcome change for their family.
Mm-hmm.
So. But any other questions?
How many restaurants actually were involved?
We try to do pretty much all the ones here. Manja closed at that time, so it wasn't them. But Alan owned Tavern, and he owned like one.
Who owns the Balboa?
No, that was that's a different owner. The previous owner helped us.
Oh, okay.
But this is a new owner.
Okay.
So it was a several of them. And where I really got the idea from too was at that time we were even buying groceries. I was buying groceries from a restaurant downtown that we were selling in wholesale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because at that time it was really hard to get groceries.
Yeah.
You're just like trying to figure out, you know, it wasn't just, you know, finding toilet paper, it was like finding eggs and everything else. But a lot of these restaurants had produce sitting there that were going to go, so they were just like, let's sell it. And so it was really great. I know even Panera was doing that. They were selling, like, not only the bread, but you could buy lettuce and tomato and eggs
and
stuff.
Flour.
Everyone
ran
out of flour.
Yes.
Yep.
Everyone was baking.
Oh,
yes.
I remember that, too.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just getting creative and figuring out ways, but I just never wanted to... Like, I don't know. For me, it was really a personal thing for not failing them and, like, figuring out a way to keep everybody okay. So it was good. And we did a lot of feel-good moments. And, you know, I know, like, even when you saw there was one, a plant company had donated all those bromeliads.
Yeah.
And it was the coolest thing in the world because we had our rec department go and deliver it to all the seniors at home. And they were just like, oh, my gosh, thank you. And that wasn't anything they asked for, but it was just something that brightened their day.
Sure.
So it was kind of nice to be able to see that.
Excellent.
So that's what we were doing during COVID.
How long did it take you to get a passport process?
At that point?
Oh, yeah.
It was a very long, they were backed up at the State Department.
Yeah.
They closed for a little bit and weren't processing, and then they didn't have the staffing for it.
And we're still dealing with that.
Yes, they're still, I mean, they caught up for a little bit, and now there's a rush again of more passport applicants.
So probably, I want to say the longest I saw was probably to 13 weeks.
12, 13 weeks,
yeah.
Possibly, but I think it could have been longer as well.
Yeah. The only benefit, I will say, was you probably had less people traveling, and so it wasn't as a critical time to be able to have a turnaround that was super fast.
Mm-hmm.
So... there was that.
When people started traveling, they didn't want to find out that their passport had expired.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was like, you know, I guess some people didn't think that it was needed, but yeah, but the response to passports, it came back and forth, definitely needed. So another thing that we sort of identified was a community need that we were right about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, everything we had to do, we had to follow a specific protocol for safety of the staff. And
oh, yeah.
So
we were like 6 feet apart,
creating,
we were sanitizing in between everything.
Yeah.
But we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Safely, too.
Boy, boy.
Have you done any work with Customs and Border Protection on processing Sentry and Global Entry?
We haven't done Sentry and Global Entry. I mean, we do work with CBP, though, because I know we assist them when their Border Patrol agents need it. But we haven't done Sentry or Global. I don't think that they wanted to release that, to be honest.
They like to have it on.
Yeah. The access.
A lot of people have to fill it out. Some people, you know,
mm-hmm.
freeze up on it.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, more people should know your story, I think.
I know.
Not out of the city.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I will say, like, even Erwin was talking to a colleague a couple of weeks ago where he's like, they were just like, you did a lot during COVID.
And we were at the forefront. So a lot of the other libraries in San Diego kind of, Joy was like, nope, we're gonna do this. I mean, it was 1 or 2 weeks and we were open again and
yeah.
you know, in a different capacity, but we never really stopped
yeah.
our reference in helping the community.
I feel like we were definitely an outlier.
Yeah.
From what I understand from how, I mean, not like, not that the other systems didn't try to do it, but not the way definitely we did it here. So I feel like the response was a lot quicker, and maybe it's because we were a smaller system, but regardless, I think we were faster.
Yeah.
Well, there's how many libraries in Chula Vista?
3.
So the city of San Diego had so many.
There's still
like branches.
Well, and then,
yeah.
and then also under an emergency situation, there's things that go first, like priority wise, right? So they're just like, well, their concern isn't necessarily supporting the public. They're trying to figure out, okay, how do we launch this and how do we get this out to the larger community?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was really fortunate where we have a very tight-knit department head team. And so when we grow projects out, we're really innovative in the way that we decide how things run.
Can I tell you one of the most major decisions that had a lot of impact, actually, that Joy made was opening Sundays.
Yeah.
We, for the longest time, we were the only library system
Sunday.
That opened Sundays
yeah.
to the point where I was getting from my former colleagues at San Diego Public saying, thank you for being open Sundays because they wanted to take, their libraries were not open on Sundays, so they took their kids to Chula Vista libraries.
Yeah.
So they said, thank you for doing that. I mean,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
it was a struggle and you know, it was, the
it's
right,
true.
It
yeah.
was, we knew it was gonna be hard with the limited staff that we had. We were really spread thin to open Sundays, but, we benefited as a result.
Yeah, and I was really wanting to give the community back what they had when we closed. Like, that was my thing, where it's just like, well, they had 7-day-a-week operation. We need to give them 7-day-a-week operation. In all honesty, I think they needed more.
Yeah.
How much staffing do you have for your free libraries? I don't think we've discussed that.
We have about, I think it's like 59. So the way that it works is called full-time equivalent, FTE. There's only about 23 permanent staff, but then all the others are in hourly. So even if I say 59, it's not necessarily 59 employees. We may have 75 employees, but they're all hourly and they get a certain amount of hours. That total of.
That's equal to one person.
Yeah.
Yes.
140 hour person.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Split by 8 people or 9 people. But yeah. So, I mean, we were really fortunate in that sense, but it was also really nice to bring people on and realize, hey, you're going to join a team that really has worked hard during the pandemic. And
it's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thanks.
And we still have meetings over Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I forgot about that. We did. We had all of our meetings over Zoom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, remember?
You mean like the board meetings?
Everything.
And the commission
City Council?
And WebEx.
All of
yeah.
that.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a lot of work.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Diane?
Yes.
I think you're next.
Oh, no, we, that was sort of like all
no, that was
all
that
together.
Was
yeah.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
Unless
sorry.
You guys have any
I should have just said,
oh, okay.
yeah.
Okay.
We chimed in.
Yes.
Okay. We want to move to the approval of the meeting minutes, and are there any objections to the meeting, to the minutes of July the 19th? Did everybody read the minutes?
Yeah. Yes. I moved to
approve.
Okay.
I second it.
Do you second things? Too?
Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yep, okay. So motion by Trustee Ellison. So I'll take the vote. I have to do it by,
oh, okay.
by person.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll do the someone made the motion yet?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Trustee Ellison. And then we had a second by Vice Chair Holler. Alright, so I'll take the vote.
Yep.
Trustee Clark?
Yes.
Trustee Ellison?
Aye.
Vice Chair Holleran.
Aye.
And Chair Larson.
Aye.
All right, motion passes.
Very good.
Do you find that normally when people are here that they abstain when they come the next time since they haven't heard out of the meeting? Or are they just read the things?
You mean for the minutes?
Yeah.
You can abstain, but you can also approve the minutes even if you weren't there. It's really just a matter of like if everything looks okay, you can approve it. So
because
it's technically
not really making a motion on the anything
on
in it.
Yeah.
I'm
looking
for typos.
Yeah.
Typos, or yeah, I mean, if there's like an egregious error, which, you know.
Like if you disagreed with
Yes. So it is a technical approval kind of a situation.
Staff comments. I don't know if that's what I was going to do at the beginning, or if that would be.
Do we want to?
Sure.
I mean,
go ahead.
We can give our.
We can give our updates. Go ahead.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just going to give updates. I mean,
yeah, that's perfect.
Is that what we want to do that? I mean, that's usually, this is the time when we just kind of like, oh, this is what's been going on.
And this helps me to get to know more about you guys.
Yes.
And what's
are you talking about just like for like professionally or like personally?
Professionally.
I think.
Professionally.
Either or.
Well, I can tell you, so right now, so as if we're talking about high, so one of the things, and I think I mentioned this before, is that we're planning the Chula Vista Art Fest for September 30th. We just closed all the applications for those who wanted to have a booth and those who wanted to exhibit at the event. We have about over 80 vendors who applied, and they all look good, so we're probably going to accept all of them. 80 vendors is a lot for that space across the street. We'll probably have... What was that?
City Hall.
City Hall. So that, yeah, that the whole lawn area over there.
Oh, the lawn area.
Yeah.
It's not inside.
No. It's going to be
September
30th. Yeah. It's in the middle of fall break for something. And then we have about 40 artists because we're going to have an exhibit space there as well. So we're going to have just art along in one of the porticos there. It's going to be amazing. So we are getting a lot of attention for it. We have sponsors sponsorships from Grasshopper, 7 Mile, and more coming online. We have endorsements from the Mingay Museum, from the Old Globe, from San Diego Opera, and from California's for the Arts. So we have endorsements from those major entities as well. So we have a lot of support behind it. We're really excited for it. And the planning is well underway. We have 6 weeks to go. It's going to be rapid fire updates as we plan it. So yeah, that's my eye.
Have any of you been to the Mingay?
Yes.
Artifact, the restaurant?
Yeah, I haven't been to that. I haven't been there.
I guess it's amazing.
It's popular.
Yeah.
It's
very
popular.
And I heard the food is very good.
Yeah. Pretty.
There's a library up in the
Mingay. Yeah, I love that
library. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it there.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
It's whenever you need the ladders to like.
It just it's so old school. I love it. Yeah.
Well, this is not a professional share, but I just got out of surgery on Monday. I had eye surgery for glaucoma. So I'm still recovering from that, and I have to have another procedure the following next Monday. So right now my vision is suspect.
Aww.
And I hope.
How many of you are already there?
It's a little
That's
wavy.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh,
a little
okay.
wavy.
Okay.
But
you're
anyway. Doing
just like you.
I just wanted to also announce the San Diego Festival of Books is this
Saturday.
Yes, that's right.
Saturday at the University of San Diego. And I don't know if you saw it, but in the Union Tribune this weekend, there was a wonderful article on book banning.
Yep.
17 libraries across the country have banned over 2,500 books.
Yeah.
In the red states, of course, but and it continues to spread. So it's just a real battleground for freedom of speech and suppressing freedom.
Have you had any issues here with that?
None.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Even if someone has ever challenged us, we just go by what our collection development policy is, so people understand. Because we have sometimes people will ask like why we don't add a certain book to the collection. And if it's not one that's actually reviewed by either school library journal or
Publishers Weekly,
then we really can't add it because we really acquire materials based on general topics. And so that's kind of where we've had it. You know, we may get a complaint about certain books, but we've never actually had anyone just challenge saying to remove it.
No.
Because truthfully, it's for us, and if you don't know the standpoint of ALA, it's really just, it's not, you can disagree with whatever book, but we also reserve the right that everybody can just can check out what they choose to and what they don't choose to.
Right.
You don't like it, don't choose it, don't select it.
Right.
Yeah.
Are these mostly school libraries?
No, public.
No,
public. Yeah, public.
Statewide.
Yes.
Very large. Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely good to be aware of it, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Some states are not. I'm trying to stop some of the African American studies, LGBTQ studies, and books come out. Eliminating all of the community.
For sure. Anyway, any other shares you guys?
You know, I can't think of anything I would want to share. It's been a very quiet month.
That's
I've enjoyed my backyard and
quiet.
Oh,
look at you.
Sorry.
Yes.
Right over.
Don't you have any fashions?
I think for me, did you guys get the invite for the sound station?
I did.
Good. So I put you on the invite list. Did you get it?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'll forward it to you. I know I put you on the list. But basically, you're going to get an invite to the sound station, which is our next station that we're launching. Well, it's actually technically a soft opening, already open to the community or to the students. But it's going to open on September 7th. And so I do. If you have an opportunity to come, please come, because then you'll be able to see what we're doing out there. You get to see what we're trying to accomplish and trying to reach the creative community. And basically, Diana saw a little bit of it to do. It's really amazing. Kids will go through a journey where they will become sound engineers, and they'll create their pop group, create their venue. They'll have to actually design their venue, create their music and their music video, and then walk away at the end presenting all of it to the community.
What grade levels are these?
That was six.
Six.
Yeah. Sixth grade. So, Diana's got to see it because it's been in action for probably a couple of weeks now, and she got to see it today, and she was just like, it's blown away when you see
what
these kids
think. What sixth graders are capable of doing.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wonder what we were doing in sixth grade.
Yeah.
I know I wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't that technology.
I was legitimately here. They sat there and they're designing. They had some criteria on a venue. For like concerts, and they had to say you had to have a PA system and lighting and front house booth, and they had like five criteria they had to meet, and then they actually built it so you could see what their venue looked like, and it was so neat to see. So we look forward to sharing all of that with you guys and really kind of seeing where we're at. Yeah, and you'll see what these kids actually go through. And at some point too, I would love to take you guys on that journey so you guys can see Innovation Station as well as Energy Station.
Cool.
But this new one's going to launch, and it's really neat. So these kids will walk away. They actually create their own music. So they walk away and they have like a song that they're creating.
Can you take, individually, or can you take it as a group, or does that violate?
For the sound station? So it's classes through the school district.
Yeah, every
she said I'd like to take you there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. Yes, you can stand for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, as guests, yeah.
Yes.
Like sitting on the side, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we
and
had staff do that.
Because it's our facility, I can take you there anytime. You don't have to have kids there to see it.
Right.
I would actually be able to show you what they did.
You just be observing, which is common occurrence in classes. There's always an observer. Because my wife's a teacher. She always is like, oh, there's going to be an observation. It's like, oh.
Right.
Yeah. But it's neat to see. It really does support our workforce development and our industries in the community. So what they're learning at each of the stations, it's trying to build that industry in to this one, so hopefully we see that.
So do they, is it only music, or can they do podcasts, or
they can
like
do
YouTube?
All of it.
Oh.
So, and it's
really?
Not just music, although it's music based, what I do want to hit home is like somebody's maybe designing a video. The video that that song's going to go to. So maybe they're into video editing.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them is designing the set for the concert. So it's not just like the musician portion,
okay.
It's everything.
Okay.
There's a science component.
Yeah.
Right? There's always like some sort of science.
Yeah.
Something with
the instructor that we just hired, I was telling them that like they had to do a presentation in front of us during their interview, and this person's presentation was on the building blocks of pop. Every pop song has a basic building block,
mm-hmm.
and he showed us the people in the room, how you just take these four blocks and the way that you stack them up creates a song. And he did it for any song that you could think of. It was just unbelievable.
Cool.
And I sat there going, this is so cool. Like, I can see a kid going, that's me.
Yeah.
So, and we're excited because as they just join that journey, we'll be bringing it to the community. We're not there yet. They went first. But we're going to take those portions of what they're teaching and bring it to the community. So teens will be able to experience it. Adults will be able to experience it. Like I was saying, we were hoping to host DJ classes in there, kind of give people a chance to be able to see if that's really what they want to do in the creative industry. So it's exciting.
Very nice.
And we'll see that with our next presentation, all the upcoming events that we're planning to do.
Yeah.
What was the program that you mentioned that the symphony was endorsing and other organizations?
Oh, that's the Art Fest. The Art Festival, yeah.
September 30th.
September 30th. It's a Saturday, yeah.
That's the first
yeah.
one? Inaugural?
It's inaugural, yeah. It's we expect it to just get bigger and bigger. So.
If you wanted maybe Mozart to endorse it. I forget it, the director of Disney should listen.
Yeah.
So she should.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would love that, actually.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
I'll take whatever endorsement.
We're working
yes.
with the youth orchestra.
Yes.
May is a little far down the line. On both sides of the border, the kids will go together and they will clean the beach together. Orchestra for Tijuana and San Diego.
That's
and
amazing.
Playing both sides of the border.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. It's a lot of documentation is difficult because a lot of the kids don't
have. They don't have passports.
And visas.
Yeah.
We could get a visa if we just go to the border, fill out a little form, and there we are. But they're easy to deal with.
Yeah.
And probably she could also get the San Diego Opera, if that were
right. I have San Diego Opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well,
you go. Very nice.
So. Chair's comments, you have to go down the list. So we have staff comments,
chairs,
trustees comments.
Chairs.
Although that a lot of it's already been kind of covered.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
of that,
yeah.
So.
Unless you guys had anything else.
Sure, throw them on.
Like, I know.
So Chair Larson, it's up to you if you want to adjourn and whatever time it is. You can
yes, I think it's time to adjourn.
Okay.
And it's now what time?
4:48.
Okay.
Okay.